Hare Krishna. Today we have a question from Gopal Das, and basically his question is about Vastu, Feng Shui. How much should we take these things into consideration? How relevant are they in the construction of temples, purchase of property, and isn't it enough just to actually chant Hare Krishna and ensure that our domicile and place of worship is properly aligned with favorable forces? Well, let's begin by just making the, I think, reasonably safe assumption that Feng Shui is a Chinese version of Vastu, probably a somewhat corrupted version of Vastu's original form. We say this on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's own statement in the first canto when he says that the different knowledge and sciences that are currently present in the world originate from the teachings of the Vedas. Of course, these sciences are all lost. They're lost because they're in the hands of materialistic people, because the disciplic succession through which they've been passed down has deteriorated, and therefore they have very little potency. But even then, the influence of Kali Yuga is such that we know that the types of purity, regulation, potency of practitioners to be able to practice Vedic sciences, arts, worship is no longer possible. It's no longer possible for the Brahminical classes, what to speak of any other classes. The Kali Yuga is very powerful, and what neutralizes Kali Yuga and enables one to perform other types of religious activities is the holy name of the Lord. This is the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. So, when we talk about Vastu, we're really talking about a Vedic science. And although as a Vedic science, it's certainly potent and powerful, the question always comes up, well, but who is qualified to teach it in this day and age? And even if there are those who are qualified to teach it, also a question comes up that those who practice it or have gained access to it, what was their original source? Are they receiving this knowledge in a parampara, in a disciplic succession? In Krishna consciousness, we're very strict about these things. We don't just take knowledge from books. We only consider knowledge to be authorized or bona fide when it comes in a parampara. So have devotees acquired such knowledge in parampara? If not, then once again we see that even though we may go through the mechanics and say this is what it says in this book and this is what it says, but there's more to it than just that. The blessings for Vedic science to be potent, what to speak of for the mantras that are involved and so on, to actually work, require the Lord's empowerment. It comes through a authorized, intact, disciplined succession. So for someone to make Vastu work, they have to have gotten from a living, working, connected Vastu teacher. I've rarely heard anyone say that they're, that's ever happened. Rarely, I haven't. I've heard of experts in Vastu, but whether those experts are coming in some authorized line, I don't know. And then certainly devotees, Western devotees who are practicing those, there's even less awareness, or seems to be much less authenticity on there's the cyclic or discipular approach to this practice. That having been said, say that someone is actually received the science of us in the cyclic succession. As I say, it's something that, like other chanting of Vedic mantras or performing of sacrifices, is very weak in this age. A vastu that has a panchatriki version, just like, for instance, the fire sacrifices that we perform, they're also, rather than being of a Vedic nature, they're more of a panchatriki nature. And they're meant to complement other types of religious ritualistic activities that we perform. But their essence is always in chanting Hare Krishna, by far. That's the most important aspect of the rituals that we in Krishna consciousness perform. There's no harm to such vastu practices, provided that devotees are clear in their minds that they're not the be-all and the end-all, that they don't ensure success, don't free one from the miseries of material existence, or ensure that one will have a comfortable life. Rather, they can be considered in a sort of a neutral category of devotional activity, or not even devotional, but spiritual activity. If you have it, it's fine. If you don't have it, it's also fine. There won't be any loss if one doesn't have it, for instance. And this is an arbitrary example, but if in some particular major city were donated a piece of land in the city center, and that land is not necessarily lies in the proper vastu configuration, and it's considered to be unfavorable, what would Srila Prabhupada tell us to do? He would just obviously tell us, accept it, take it, chant Hare Krishna, everything will be all right. When you install the deity of the Lord, he is the Parameshwara, he is the supreme controller. So he is the supreme controller above the Vastu Purusha. And if you please him and if you glorify him, then everything else can naturally and easily be achieved. If, on the other hand, you can build a temple according to principles of Vastu, then fine. There's no harm. It should be done like that, provided that obviously it doesn't necessarily run into added expense, inconvenience, and so on, where once again the question will arise, how valuable is this? All things can be achieved by chanting Hare Krishna, as Gopal points out. Because, and we should remember, this is the basis and the formula of Krishna consciousness. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. In other words, in order to attain perfection, material and spiritual, in order to be perfected, protected from all kinds of bad influences, in order to make advancement in spiritual life, whatever anyone needs, in Kali Yuga, only the chanting of the holy names of the Lord will do. If there's any type of defect or deficiency, if there's any lack in any kind of structural vastu configuration, it can be compensated for by properly chanting Hare Krishna. Another example, perhaps you've moved into a house and purchased a house, and according to vastu, the altar should be in some small closet. Instead of it being in the main living room, it should be in the closet. But obviously you're not going to put it into the closet, you need to put it into the main living room. And if it is a consequence of that, we have to suffer some type of reaction, then we know that because the deity of the Lord is in charge, then ultimately it's His mercy for such a thing to take place. So we'll just accept that. But otherwise we know that the Lord can balance out any type of situation. So in conclusion, if it gives us faith, if it gives others faith, if it's not going out of our way, if it does not detract from Krishna consciousness, and if it does not detract from preaching activities, then yes, why not incorporate whatever principles of Vastu are being practiced nowadays. But if it doesn't, then, or if it does, if it contravenes any of these things, then they're not necessary. It's not necessary. And the evidence of that, obviously, is if it was something of great importance, Srila Prabhupada would have taken it into consideration in constructing his Bombay temple, Krishna Balaram Mandir, Mayapur, so many other things, or his buildings and properties throughout the world. But never once did Srila Prabhupada discuss such things or comment on such things. But what he did comment on was always serving the deity of the Lord in the best possible way, and chanting Hare Krishna. And that's what we should also concentrate on, and use these other things at best as some kind of embellishment, but not as a foundation for either our devotion, for our life, and even for the way in which we make decisions affecting our the material aspect of our lives. Hare Krishna.